not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, not just when we come together. It doesn't matter where you're at. God is with you. And if there's another person there, any person, it doesn't matter where they are. I promise you, they need Christ who's in you. They need it. Even if that other person's me. Does that help you? Does that help you know that even if you and I meet somewhere, I know I need Christ that's in you. I need to be able to bear, to eat of the fruit that you're bearing. Is that making sense? I'm not telling you you have to have a sermon ready to preach me. No. We're living epistles. Read by every man. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue in our study in 1 John. 1 John 2:20 says this, and I want to read it, and we're gonna dig around in this a little bit and understand it. But you have an anointing. 1 John 2:20, you have, but. Now we're going to get to that part there, but, because it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. But you have an anointing. If you've been born again, if you've been rescued, you've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ, you are now a child of the Most High God. You have the anointing, which is the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. And we're gonna look at that a little bit more. Look it with me at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But you have the mind of Christ. See, the Holy Spirit lives in you and you have the mind of Christ. It's available. All wisdom, it is available. But we've got to learn how to listen. We've got to learn how to follow. We've got to learn how to be still and let the teacher, the Holy Spirit, teach us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9 says, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And yes, I understand that in Hebrews chapter 1, it is directly speaking about Jesus. But who lives in you? Jesus. You're created in him. He was the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29. Go with me there real quick. Just laying a little foundation for you to understand this anointing. See, if you don't know what the anointing is, if you have no idea who the anointing is, what the anointing is, how many of y'all know that if you don't know the divine design of something, you're probably going to misuse it? Does that make sense? Okay, I'll use this as an example because Brother Bill loves me. If I was going to build this stage, like these things up here, and I needed a nail to hang up a new sign, would I use this to hammer in the nail? Would not be a good idea. Now, yes, Brother Bill will love me, and yes, I'll get the job done. I probably won't like the fruit of my labor. Because this is not divinely designed to hammer in a nail. Does that make sense? Yes, I could probably use this part here and get the job done. But I'm going to destroy what this was created for. Does that make sense? It's just like I remember years ago, I did an illustration with a group of young people. I let my son be a part of it when we took a loaf of bread and a toaster and a bucket of butter. And I took a flathead screwdriver and a butter knife. And I gave my son the flathead screwdriver and told him, take this tub of butter and toast this loaf of bread. And when the toast comes up, take the flathead screwdriver and butter all the bread and give it out to all the kids in the room. And so he did as he was instructed. He took the flathead screwdriver and scooped the butter out and buttered it. And how many of y'all know he got the job done? He did not make his mother happy in this process. The bread was a mess. The butter was a mess. The table was a mess. Had he just used the butter knife, there wouldn't have been a problem. Does that make sense? So when we begin to understand the divine design of something, when we understand who and what, Christ was given to us for new life. The Holy Spirit was given to us to lead and guide us into all truth. Okay, where did I leave off? Hebrews 8:29. Thank you very much. Romans 8:29. That's what it says up there too. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed, look at this, to be conformed to the image of his son. He has called us to be conformed to the image of his son. That's why he rescued us out of darkness and placed it in the king, in his kingdom. Read on. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these also he called. Whom he called, these also he justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. See, this is why Jesus, when he became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. He became sin so that we would become the righteousness of God. And when we began to know this and we began to be able to hear and follow the anointing of God that is within us, this changes everything. But I know I went to church a long time and no one told me I had an anointing. And then when they told me I did have an anointing, it was always something that I had to try to figure out how to stir up. And it became a very self-focused thing versus Christ-focused. I was following the anointing if I spent 2 or 3 hours only praying before I ministered. Well, that works only in a little time. But what about if I just get in the car and go to the Safeway? Is the anointing there for me? Now, if I filled my head with junk prior to going to the store, how easy is it for me to hear the anointing? See, that's where this comes together. That's where we have to learn to shut out all the other voices. Stop meditating on the things of this world. Stop looking at all of this and follow who lives in us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says, And have put a new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And we've put on, that's what I skipped that word. And have put on a new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20. I'm going to look at a couple scriptures here. For all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. How many of y'all like that verse? See, we like that verse. All the promises of God in him are yes and amen. Well, let's keep reading. It gets more gooder. It gets better. They're yes and amen. To the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. He who has anointed us is God. So these promises that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, and he has anointed us, he's given them to us. They're in us. Verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us in God, verse 22, who has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. He didn't just give us the Holy Spirit so that when we come together on Sunday morning that we can have some duck mumps so that we can feel good. No, He gave us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can live every day, every hour. He gave me the Holy Spirit so I can love my wife as Christ loved the church. That's the first assignment that I'm on. As a married man, know God, love my wife as Christ loved the church. Know God, love my wife as Christ loved the church. I can't love the rest of you until I learn and I walk in and I continually love my wife as Christ loved the church. And as I'm loving my wife as Christ loved the church, we begin to bear fruit. We begin to grow. We begin to be used by God. And yes, Heather doesn't maybe stand up here and sing and play and do all the things like other pastors' wives tend to do, because she's unique. She is fearfully and wonderfully made. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Look with me. Jump down and back in John, 1 John 2. Our main passages are 1 John 2, 20 and 1 John 2, 27. That's what we really want to look at. That's what we want to hear. We want to understand. What is this anointing that God has given to us? When we understand and know the anointing and begin to follow the anointing of God, our lives are going to be transformed. It's the very thing that we wanted. We all want a good life. We want a healthy life. We want a prosperous life. We have all these nice words to talk about it. But it's in Christ Jesus. It's not in the world. It's not in the things of the world. 1 John 2, 27 says, "But the anointing which you have received from God," "received from him, abides in you." The anointing, but, so we're going to have to come back because both of these scriptures started with a but. That means there's something in front of them. And we'll get there if you stick with me. "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not have need that anyone teach you." Now think about that for a second. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. You will abide in him. Does that mean you don't need me? No. We've established that. I'm a gift to you. I'm a gift to you. Whether or not you want to open up the gift and receive, that's up to you. In Ephesians chapter 4, we clearly see that God put in the church. That's who we are. If we're in Christ, we're part of the church. We're his body, right? And in that body, he has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints. That's to edify, that's to build up, that's to bring the materials. How many of y'all know that means good teaching? To bring the word of God, to lay it before you so that you can eat. So I'm not saying God doesn't want teachers. But when do we get to the place that when you come together as the body of Christ, the things that I share from here begin to go off in you because you've been hearing them all week long? You've been studying. You've been in the presence of God. You've been seeking him, and he's leading you and guiding you. I said it to somebody the other day. It's amazing. Sheep bear sheep, right? Sheep bear sheep, right? Shepherds don't bear sheep. But in a lot of church cultures, the congregation thinks it's the pastor's job to bring everybody in and make new sheep. Think about that for a second. I'm just here to equip the sheep. Yes, I'm a sheep. Okay? And I need teachers. I need apostles. I need prophets. I need evangelists. okay? And I have those in my life. And we've gathered together here so that we can grow, that we can know, we can move forward with the things of God. Because he has given us life and life more abundantly. Write this down. I'm not going to ask her to pull it up. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But you got to be willing and obedient. You got to be willing and obedient. The verse before it says, I get it. Your sins were like darkness, and I made them white as snow. We love that verse. We got songs after that verse. But we never get to the next verse. We love that my sins are forgiven and I'm white as snow. I know. The Holy Spirit was given to lead and guide us every day, all the time, in every area of our life. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday. Not just on Saturday night, not just Saturday, no, every day. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'll go through a couple more about the anointing. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 through 12. Jot these down. I'm just going to cover them real quickly. I want us to understand. Did I finish reading 10:27? Yes, I did. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful. Look at this. For I will be merciful to their. That's us. Our unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I shall remember no more. Now, if he's placing his laws on our mind and in our hearts, and our lawless deeds, all the dumb that we did as early as, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt now. I didn't bring my watch, so I don't know what time it is, but let's say it's 11:38. So if at 10 o'clock, maybe you did a bit of stupid. Maybe you did a bit of stupid. He has already forgiven you of that. You may need to apologize to your spouse for engaging into an argument at 10:01. Not that any of us who go to church ever do that, because I ride in a separate vehicle. See, I just know how to avoid stupid. Does that make sense? But even if I did, yes, I may need to apologize. I may need to say I was wrong. But God's not holding it against me. He's not sitting up in heaven going, well, if he doesn't apologize, I'm just going to have to stop the rain so nobody else gets rain in Wilcox, all because Paul won't apologize to his wife. No, it says he rains on the just and the unjust. That's a freebie. Oh, hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit, I wrote this down when I went back over this little portion of scripture here. It says, in verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. So the Holy Spirit is not reminding you of your sins. The Holy Spirit's not reminding you of your sins. Your dead head will. Your conscience will. Your eyes will. Your eyes will remind you of your sin because they want you to keep meditating on that. Now think about that. If your heart and your mind are drawing you to your past sins as early as 10:01, you're concentrating on that, are you actually meditating on whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, think, meditate on these things. See, that's why I know it's not the Holy Spirit leading you backwards. Now, Christ in you, if the Holy Spirit's reminding, oh, I wrote it down, so I would say this with clarity. Okay. The Holy Spirit is not reminding you of your sins. He may be prompting you to apologize, humble yourself, things like that, because he knows what's ahead. If you don't do one of what that he's leading you to do, if you don't apologize, how many of y'all know he already knows the seed you're about to sow from your inability to humble yourself? Does that make sense? So if something's in you saying you need to apologize because you argued with your spouse at 10:01, just simply apologize and move on. Because that's all the Holy Spirit's trying to lead you. He's leading you. And he knows that if you'll apologize, if you'll humble yourself, he gives more grace to the humble. Does that make sense? He's not condemning you. He loves you. He's drawing you closer to him. And the goal is that our lives would manifest the very life of Christ. That everywhere we go, they would begin to see Christ. Because he lives in us. We looked at a few scriptures last week, and you need to go back and look at them. We'll try to get some more going forward, because when we begin to understand and walk and follow the anointing of God, good news and bad news, all those who live godly will face persecution. It's a promise. I know it's not on anybody's refrigerator, but it is a promise. All who live godly will face persecution. And if we get time today, I'll show you just a glimpse of Paul's persecution. But it wasn't because the Holy Spirit was doing things. He was being obedient. He was doing exactly what God had called him to do, where he called him to do it. And yet the world doesn't like us. And there's a whole lot of scripture to support that. Maybe we'll get there. Where did I leave off here? He knows what's ahead, tempting to lead you in truth. Yeah, he's leading us not to do stupid. Amen. All right, good news. I finished a page. Hallelujah. John 14. Go with me to John 14. We're still looking at this anointing who is in you. You have an anointing. Do you recognize the anointing? Do you follow the anointing? Do you hear the anointing? See, the anointing of God is not like a dove in the sense of it lands over here and then it jumps up and lands over here. No, the Holy Spirit has been poured out onto all flesh and it's still out. It's still coming. He's still here. We'll understand that some more. John 14, verse 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Another helper. Jesus was in the flesh walking with some men. And he says, I'm going to pray to the Father, and he's going to send you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Forever. That means the Holy Spirit, who was sent 2,000 plus years ago, is still abiding with us now in 2024. And he will abide with us forever. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Verse 17. The Spirit of truth. Now look at this. Whom the world cannot receive. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. See, they can't receive the Holy Spirit until they come out from darkness and are born again and they're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then they can receive more of him in the sense of ability, opening up, receiving what's in there. It's kind of like I handed the butter knife and I laid it on the table, but he never picked it up. The butter knife was there, but he never used it. And in his case, for his defense, he was told to use the screwdriver to use the illustration. Just trying to bring clarity. What verse I read? The world cannot receive, but it neither because he neither sees him nor knows him. But look at this. But you know him. He dwells with you, and he will be in you. He dwells with you, and he will be in you. This anointing is in us. This is the real power. You want to know, I mean, am I the only one that's like, oh, well, they're super saints. No, I'm a super saint. You're a super saint. You have Christ in you or you don't. And if you have Christ in you, you have the same anointing. There's no difference. He's not giving some and a little. It isn't even that you have this baby Holy Spirit. No, you don't have a baby Holy Spirit. You have Christ in you. You just have a whole lot of other stupid stuff in your life. And you can't see, hear, or acknowledge the Holy Spirit because I looked at it this way one time. I was thinking, am I the only one who's ever thought, you know, if I came back and I had just a younger body, would I do things different? If I had the same knowledge, the same power, but a younger body, would I do things different? Probably. Okay. But how trapped would I be if I had all the same knowledge that I have now, but the inability to actually use any of it? Okay, let me help you. I know how to cut my piece of steak and eat it. Follow me? I set up at the table all by myself, and I cut my steak, I put it in my mouth, and I eat it. But if I had to start over, and I was in this little tiny body, but I still had the same mind, will, and emotions that I have right now, how frustrating might it be that I know mama's just giving me nursing milk, or maybe I'm a little older, maybe I'm like 3. So yeah, mama's giving me a bunch of peas, mashed up peas, and yet I know they're a steak, but I physically can't do it. My body, I can't hold a knife. I've never been taught. I've never been taught how to cut a piece of steak and eat it. And yet I know it. See, listen, we know. We read it. You know all things. Christ in you knows all things. But maybe your body just doesn't know how to cut the steak. It's available, but we have to learn how to tap in, how to obey, how to hear. See, the greatest thing you could ever learn is how to hear the voice of God. It's the missing factor. This is why churches are dying. This is why people are jumping off cliffs and crazy. Because they can't hear God. But when we can hear God, he loves us, he knows us, and he desires to lead and guide us. But to hear him, we got to cut out all the garbage. We have to learn how to abide. We have to learn how to abide in him, abide in his word. And as we eat of his word, as we meditate on his word, and it changes our life. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we respond. And it's literally from the inside out, not the outside in. See, I can make any of you stop doing whatever sin you want to do as long as I tape you to that chair. But the one thing I can't stop you, even if I taped you, duct taped you, chained you to that chair, what I can't make you do is honor God. I can't make you hear God. I can't make you listen to him. I can keep you from doing all the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All the physical I can make you. But I can't do anything else. You have to submit to God. You have to surrender. You have to go, okay, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. What verse did I read last before I got on track? John 14, where were we? Verse 17, the Spirit. Oh, yes, we read that. The Spirit of truth, whom you know. And did we read this? But the truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Go with me to John 14, 26. Just down a few verses if you're in your paper Bible. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you one or two things. Oh, wait. He will teach you all things. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. But here's the question. When do we learn to go to the teacher? What are we doing to go to the teacher? How much time do we actually go to the teacher? See, I learned this the other day when my grandbaby Sailor was asking me, where are you going, Papa? Where are you going, Papa? As I grab my backpack and I've got my iPad and my Bible in there and I'm headed off. I said, well, I'm going to school. She goes, you're going to school? I said, yeah. Papa's going to go down to his office and he's going to lay out his Bible. And he's going to get in the presence of the Holy God, and he's going to learn of him. When do we do this? I heard it this way. Everybody likes still waters, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Okay? He restores my soul. But when do we go to the still waters? He told me to tell somebody here today, this was Wednesday, he told me to tell somebody here today, you need some still water time. You need some still water time. When do you go to the still waters to restore your soul? That's up to you. I can't make you. I provided it for you, Brother Bill and those up here. We provided still waters this morning. The anointing of God is here. He was here. He was with us. He's still with us. And it ain't about the duck bumps. It's not about no. He's with us. We just got to learn how to listen, how to follow, how to obey, how to receive. On that note, we're going to change part of that last song. Instead of just keep declaring out how I need him, we're going to declare I receive him. We're going to fix some of that and just declare we receive him. We received him. We receive him. Because there's a difference in me declaring what I need and me declaring what I receive. See, when I receive it, I got it. If I just keep declaring what I need but I don't ever receive, where's the disconnect? It ain't on him. He's given it. He's supplied it. All I got to do is receive it. Hallelujah. What verse do we leave off on? Where are we at? Hallelujah. I'm going to have to find a landing spot. Bless the Lord. Well, I'm almost through my notes because I didn't print out the other three pages. Oh, praise the Lord. What was the last verse I read? Verse 26. All right. Let's move on to 1 John 2:28. Look at that. Well, pull up 1 John 2:27 first, and it leads into 28. So I want to read that from your Bible, 1 John 2:27, and we're going to read 28 and 29. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as he taught you, you will abide in him. You will abide in him. Verse 29, verse 28, look at this. And now, little children, keep it simple, saint. And now, little children, abide in him. This means come to the still waters. This means come to the still waters. Abide in him. Don't just date him on the weekends. I'm just casting down a whole bunch of thoughts. Don't just date him on the weekends. Abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, notice that. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. If you're not practicing righteousness, it's time to start. It's that simple. Just practice righteousness. His righteousness. Not works of your flesh. Not, you cannot make yourself righteous. You must be born again and you become righteous. Now it is time to grow up in righteousness. It's time to, I don't have to do that. I tell my son and my kids, Josiah gets the blunt of that sometimes. Maybe it's because he's a boy, but just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you can have a moment of ignorance doesn't mean you should. Just because you can lust after the flesh, lust after the eyes, lust after the flesh doesn't mean you should. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're here in 1 John, so I want to point out a few things as I find a landing spot. Because I want to get us to a place where now that we kind of know what the anointing is, it's called the Holy Spirit, who lives and abides in us. So why did John, the writer of this passage, tell us that we have this anointing? Why did he tell us this? To what end was he attempting to get our attention? And if you look in verse 15, now we looked at verses 12 through 15 last week, so you can go back to that. Go back to last week's message and you can get a little bit more. Right now I want to read up the verses that come just before verse 20. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, I'm in verse 15. Sorry, I may have not have said that. 1 John 2, 15. Let me read it again. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, all that is in the world, the same all, that means all, right? All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. All that's in the world is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. When do we really understand that all the things that tend to stir us, tend to draw us away from what we're supposed to be doing, it's all literally passing away. It's dying, and yet we are trying to resurrect it. We're trying to save it, and we're not supposed to be. Where did I read off? Thank you. 17, the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father, does the will of God, sorry, abides forever. Notice it says he who does the will of God. He who does the will of God abides forever. Notice, to do the will of God, you got to be abiding. What does your abiding look like? Is anybody willing to admit it could be more? If I took it off of you and I put it on Heather and I, if my time with Heather, could we do more? Could we do more? Nod your head. We could. So if Heather and I could do more, we didn't get to 29 years without some hard work. Believe me, she's had to do a lot of hard work. It's been an easy ride for me, but she has had to knock down so many dumb ideas. She's had to resist the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. I'm a fine specimen of a man. See, I got you now. All right. I try to make you feel better. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. He does not, okay, abides forever. Verse 18, little children, keep it simple, saint. Little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. Now, is it safe to say that if this is being written 2,000 years ago, there's probably more than now than was then? Because the world has not gotten better. We just read that. It's passing away. All right. Where did I leave off? By which we, okay, even now many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Verse 19, they went out from us. Now catch this. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not have continued. They would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were from us or of us. And then he says, but you have an anointing. But you have an anointing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you missed everything else, stand to your feet. I'm going to land. I want to pray with you. If you've been born again, you have an anointing. You do not have to go through life in a state of shipwrecked. You do not have to walk through life fearful all the time, unknowing, not assured. You don't have to live this way. I say it this way. If you've never been born again and you're dead in sin, you don't have to stay there. Yes, God loves you right where you're at. He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. But He loves you enough to not leave you there. You know, I love all four of my children that the Lord left with me on the planet. And I love them enough to not leave them in their state of childhood. Does that make sense? Just because they threw a tantrum, I didn't leave them there. I admonish them to mature, to grow up, to learn. Is that making sense? Same thing with us. You have an anointing. It's called the Spirit of God. And He lives in you. And it's time that we learn to follow Him. And as we follow Him, we bear much fruit. We bear much fruit. Did you learn anything? Hallelujah. Let's give thanks. Father, we love you. I thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. If you've never been born again, right now you can be born again. If you're watching online and you've never been born again, you can pray with us right now and be born again. Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. It is that simple. And in salvation, Jesus supplied all that you have need of. Healing, finances, everything. It was all given. But you must believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and grab a hold of it. and walk it out. And if you, let's just, Father, we love you and we praise you. And we do. We believe you, Lord. We believe that God sent Jesus. And Jesus became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. And we believe and we confess that God raised him from the dead, giving us new life. And we believe and we receive that new life in the name of Jesus. We received Christ. And we believe in our heart and we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Say it with me. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He has given us all that we have need of to live righteously. He has given us the Holy Spirit. We are anointed by God. Christ lives in us. For the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness. The grace of God has appeared to teach us. Are we willing to be taught? Are we willing to come to the still waters? So, Father, we surrender. Holy Spirit, we surrender to you, to teaching us, to drawing us into your presence, to revealing yourself to us. We thank you for it. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you for coming. Hug somebody. Love somebody.